Hi, everybody. Welcome to Domain Sherpin. Thank you for tuning into the podcast with the best domain name in digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Sherpa Short, where we pick a couple domain topics or articles and dig into them for a bit. And today's Sherpa Short is titled, Whose Broker Is It Anyway? Featuring Drew and Chris. And we talk about .AI domains and if we're seeing a shift away from the extension as the technology becomes more prevalent and the space matures. And then we also talk about the role that Afternic brokers play in a domain negotiation. And who do they actually represent? The buyer or the seller, which piggybacks off of an article recently published by Elliot Silver on domaininvesting.com. All that and more is coming up on today's show. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at domainsherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at ds.tv. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. And please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button and all that good stuff everywhere that you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with views.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. We also talk about that a bit on today's show, so definitely check all that out. And big shout out to DNWE, short for Domain Name Wholesale Exchange. It's a trading platform designed specifically for domain investors, streamlining the process of buying and selling domain names to make it quicker and easier. With a community of over 3,500 investors, DNWE enhances market liquidity, facilitating more efficient transactions with standard domain listings, reverse auctions, standard auctions, and soon to be added portfolio auctions, which include traffic portfolios. DNWE is part of EW3N, a family-run digital asset investment company based in London, England, that also operates domainmanage.com, which is a global sales platform, and brandable.uk, which is a marketplace for UK and co.uk domain names. And shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at mediaoptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain names and domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and domain investing. So with that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, aka JT, aka Jay On, aka Sherpa Winfrey, aka Repeat Davidson. And I'm the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is a Sherpa Short. That's where we pick a domain topic or an article or two and we dig in. And it's a pretty Sherpa Short. Got a short intro. So real quick, let me go ahead and introduce my co-hosts, not even my guests, but over to my right, I got my boy Andrew Rosner, a.k.a. Morpheus, a.k.a. the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, a.k.a. Bob Lee Swagger, the Sniper, a.k.a. Greybeard, the Domain Pirate. We even keep the a.k.a. short on Sherpa Shorts. What's up, Drew?
Stop.
Oh, all right. Let's keep it moving. Below me, we got my boy, the one and only Chris Zyker, a.k.a. Zyker's Island, a.k.a. World War Z, a.k.a. the Brand Whisperer, a.k.a. Zyke Tyson, a.k.a. Zyker Jordan. What's up, dude? How are you?
Boom. You may not recognize me. I shaved my head, so.
I didn't even know. For a second, yeah, I'm like, who is this guy looking like guy? He wants to be, you know? That we are follically challenged.
I need to shave my head.
So. Yeah, you got a little bit of that, you got that 6 o'clock shadow on your head, Drew. You know what I'm saying? You got it at 6 o'clock, but not at 9 o'clock, you know? You know what I'm saying? You got 3 o'clock and actually you got 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock. You don't have 12 o'clock or 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Dude, the same thing would happen to me though. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, if I let it grow in, it would look real, real weird up in here. So, but it is all good. It's all good.
Tell you what, two friends of mine in the last 1 week, in the last single week, I don't know anybody, never happened to me in my life, but now in 1 week, I got two friends that both got that hair transplant joint. And I don't know. They just sprung that shit on me. And I was like, wow, damn, you know, looking good. Young,
yeah, definitely makes them look younger. You know what I'm saying?
You got to pay a price. I mean, you got to walk around looking like, you know.
Yeah, you got to look like
somebody did some work. Somebody did some work on your head.
Yeah, you got. I mean, it's literally like planting crops. Shout out to Shane, by the way.
Yeah,
Shane, he can relate. Like, but it's like, you know, you look like you're like in stages of whatever that's going on where, you know, you look pretty banged up for a little while there. But, you know, in this era of Zoom and being somewhat, you know, remote, you could kind of go off grid a little bit. Although, you know, we do stuff in real life. So, you know, people see you out and about. I guess you could wear a hat, right? I don't know enough about the process. Can you wear a hat while it's doing what it's doing? You know, it might have to be the next thing. We're going to have to bring somebody on to break down the way it works.
Wear a hat. I mean,
no, I just mean,
we actually sold hair growth. That was one of my first domains, right? It was like, I think it was hairgrowth.com. Didn't we sell that one, Drew? It was something with hair. I'm pretty sure it might have been hair growth.
I was going through.
I was
going through files today, man. The amount of names and contracts and things and deals we've done, it's pretty crazy.
We sold a name or two in our day.
We have sold. That's the thing. You see the gray hair on your face, but you'd see the gray hair through.
Every one of these gray hairs represents a transaction. You know what I'm saying? There's a transaction right here. Zoom, Prime. You know, see that one right there? That, you know.
Which one? Which one is agent.com, you know? And which actually is a good segue into.
Eight right here.
You know, we cannot go into detail, but, you know, excited, you know, on that one. And more importantly, really, not even to talk about that deal at all, but just to segue into the topic of .ai domains, right? Because if you go to agent.com, it's forwarding to agent.ai. And so what do you think, Drew? I mean, we kind of check in on this topic on a pretty consistent basis. And I think, you know, it's been 2 weeks, you know, with AI domains, man. I mean, do you feel this further validates your thesis? I mean, are you doing a victory lap or what's going on?
Listen, I already knew I was right when I stated it the first time. And I even called my shots. I called my shots. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when they point and bat, you know, it's like, look, left wall, I'm putting it over that wall. Right. I said, you will know my name is the Lord. No, you will know I am right.
You will know I am right. You're breaking out the Pulp Fiction Sam Jackson. You ready to do it today, huh?
When Dharmesh pivots from agent.ai to agent.com, you will know that I am right. You will know that .ai is an inferior extension that is ultimately going to become redundant, is ultimately going to confuse a brand. It is ultimately going to be an appendage. It is a handicap. It is doing nothing to further or amplify a brand. There may be exceptions, but there won't be many of them. And therefore, paying end user pricing for a .ai domain name on the speculation that an end user is going to pay even more than you is, in my book, the definition of stupidity. And so if that sounds like you, might want to recalibrate. Go back and listen to me the first 15 times I told y'all. Anyways, not here to pound my chest.
No, not at all.
But .ai, I mean, look, I'm ready to put the nail in the coffin as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know, well, man. I mean, hey, look, go ahead. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I see that when we're trying to acquire .ai, right? So there's a price range that it makes sense. And what happens, like, we reach out and investors and they confuse that signal. And to your point, Drew, like, they're looking for this super crazy price and then the buyers walk. So, I mean, we see it on both spectrums, right? You're seeing it from your side, selling them. You're seeing it, you know, when we talk to buyers that are looking for domains, because we've had several, but there is a zone that it makes sense for them, right? So, I mean, I talk about the five buyer types. I talk about my three pillars, right? Drew, you got the Rosner equation. Yep. All these different frames, but I mean, several times this year it's happened where they're like, hey, here's my strike zone. And then it confuses it even more because then you have to have a lot of these, they have to have the AI.ai, right? Because it's like, okay.
So it's like, people don't know how to type it. They're like, Fugazi. Like anything other than .com is might as well just be called like .fugazi.
Well, yeah, they're at a serious risk if they don't, like, if you own the .ai as an end user and then you don't own the AI.ai, you know, like, now you've got more confusion, right? Remember, there's 45 trademark classes, so it's like, I got this, but it's a generic word, you know, and it could be anything. I mean, you can flip that, you know, to any different trademark class. It creates confusion. There's a security risk, right? Global positioning. And so you have to price it right. It has to be priced right, or you pass on your perfect offer. And then you're sitting with this domain name, right? I mean, I like to say, it's like, if your perfect offer slapped you across the face, could you recognize it? And what I see is that this confusion that's out there.
It's a great way to say it, because the truth of the matter is that it often does slap you in the jaw, right? It often does. The people coming to us, hey, I got this offer, but then I was reading an article about how Voice.com sold for $30 million. And so, you know, I'm wondering if you guys can get me $30 million. And you're like, look, you're 100% right. And people don't recognize that that offer they got, that was their chance. That was their moment. That was,
Listen, you will
get the perfect pitch.
Yeah.
They got the perfect pitch and they stood there and watched it go across the plate.
Yeah. You will get at some point, I feel confident you'll get the highest offer on your domain. Right. And whether you recognize that or not is the key. Right. So at some point,
the difference between having a bunch of money and having a domain name that hope someone pays more for in the future.
Yeah. Well, all right. So let me put on my, devil's advocate here. You know what I'm saying? Let's see. We got a couple of things.
It's a hat that fits you so well.
Hey, man, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to. Hey, you could argue that, being your attorney, that naturally makes me the devil's advocate in general. You know what I'm saying? But, so let me go ahead and be what I be.
I'm not sure how I want to take that.
Yeah, I mean, you should take it how you take it how I said it. You know what I'm saying? Hey, look, it's all love. It's all love. But, Namecheap, Richard, recently posted a couple of sales, I think they go out of their way to report on these. I mean, they're somewhat supportive and, proponent of .ai domains and alternate extensions. And they've obviously even dabbled into some of the Web3 stuff as well. So, but authentic.ai sold 50K, strawberry.ai 45K, as a couple examples. What do you think? 3character.ai, NOA.ai sold for 30K. What do you think? I mean, obviously look, not to put words in anybody's mouth, right? When we had the show, and I advise anybody that's really interested in this, we had a great show with Andy and James Booth talking about this because, they are also proponents of .ai domains. Discussing sort of the future .ai, they were going pretty heavy into the .ai domains. They were doing some building of their own, stuff as well, platform sites and things. They got a lot of really cool things going on, and I don't think they ever said that AI was going to replace .com, right? I think that's important to say that. I don't know that there are a lot of people out there. I mean, there are a few that always talk about, .eth domains, this, that, .si now is ., whatever, But I think the people that are investing a whole lot of money and are really, really pushing that agenda aren't saying it's a .com replacement, but are saying it's somewhat of a viable alternative, right? So what do you think about that domain pricing? I mean, 50K for authentic.ai? I mean, that sounds like a pretty good price, no?
It's just, these are one-offs. This is not any given Sunday, right? I mean, you can't make a business plan on that.
Andrew, I would say like it's almost pigeonholed AI, right? AI coming out is almost like before. I think it was broadly more accepted, right? It was AI, but it was like that trend.
It was every company in tech wanted to be seen as an AI company so that they could get money in an otherwise closed funding environment. And so they did so by saying, oh, we're now whatever .ai. Of course we're an AI company. Well, what are you doing now? Well, we use ChatGPT to create our fucking progress reports. And it's like, that makes us an AI company. It's great. So when all of that bullshit wears off, and the reality is that every company in the world is an AI company, we're a freaking AI company. I think that the allure of .ai goes away very quickly. And there are only going to be a very small number of, relatively small number of actual hardware and software companies that are literally just AI service companies. They are not a, retail service. They're not a, a consumer product. It is a AI tool, so to speak. And then even then, maybe it makes sense, right? As a second best alternative.
I literally saw it today or yesterday. this company's like, how are we different? We use AI, you know? It was like,
yeah, and that's going to hold up for about
pretty much every, this was in the lead gen space, right? I was like, pretty much everyone's using AI now to like, but like, yeah, that's was their, that literally was on their site. It was like, we use AI, ours is, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's hard to like, because even all the softwares we use, right? So I can't even remember, like, is it IO? Is it .AI? You know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. But the seven dimensions, and it'll always come back to positioning, always come back to simplicity and an effortless path for your company. But I think this goes back to that trend, right, Drew? Because I post this like every 2 weeks or so, but like, is the trend your friend? And how you need to sell into the trend, right? When it's first positioning, that's when a lot of the higher offers comes in.
I've been saying it for years, sell into the wave.
Yeah, the wave of money. And then from there, it settles down and then it becomes, you know, branded. And then it, you know, in that category. And then from there, it comes back to category defining domains, right?
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
if you miss the trend and the money coming in, you miss it, right? I mean, metaverse is like, have you even heard metaverse? Does anyone?
No, nobody cares.
Yeah, I mean, it's done. It's like all these people had like $100,000. I remember like they had $100,000 offer on domain and they passed on it.
You know? And then they came back. They came back months later and said, hey, you know what? I'm thinking I'll take that offer now. It's like that offer is so far gone. I mean, that you couldn't, you know, you could maybe get 10% of that offer now. And look, I think you're absolutely right. And Drew, you do say that all the time. I mean, and you know, literally on a weekly, daily basis, sell into the wave, you know, when we're trying to educate. I mean, because it happens a lot of times too when, you know, our clients come to us and one of the main questions we get asked all the time is what's my domain worth, right? And it's a matter of trying to value it and, you know, and value it in light of what the potential companies are, the potential buyers that are out there. And you know, the trend as to, you know, where the name is kind of in that kind of cycle. And I think all that makes sense. You know, mentioning about, you know, we use a different, you know, tools utilizing AI, it's becoming pretty, you know, ubiquitous within, you know, all the different stuff, sites, platforms, what have you. There's some cool stuff happening in the domain space, even with AI. And, you know, talking about Namecheap, they've got an AI, you know, some AI tooling that I think will come out soon. Anthos at Sav just got a patent on like this AI website development tool that it's going to come out. I think it's going to come out maybe next year, but just got the patent for it. So I think that's kind of cool. You know, so it'll be interesting, but none of those companies are rebranding. You know, Namecheap's not rebranding to Namecheap.ai, right? So,
I would say one caveat is I do think, like I say, right, there's the trend, there's this big push, then it goes to brands, right? Brands come in and then it comes back to category. So I do think there will be some category defining AI domains will keep value.
What about companies that have established their brand as a .AI brand early? What do they do, right? Like look at Muse.ai. There's a tool that we use. You could go if right now, if you want to see, hey, let me find all the episodes that Drew said sell into the wave or the trend is your friend, right? Or that Chris said trend is your friend. You can actually go into Muse and look that up, right? Muse.ai has been Muse.ai from the beginning. You know, were they early enough? Did they establish enough of a brand? Is that a company that if Muse.com becomes available, you would tell them to do it? I mean, I don't.
Well, I mean, look, I'm an investor in Muse, and I can tell you that we made multiple attempts to acquire Muse.com. And if we could have it, definitely would be called Muse.com.
Okay. Okay. Well, there you go.
And there that was before this was even a discussion.
All right. Well, that's a little bit of that's a mic drop. You know what I'm saying? And a couple other things.
You know, it used to be all roads lead to domains. It's all road leads to media options.
All roads lead to .com, and all roads lead to Drew. I'm going to kind of run this topic to ground and then we'll move on to some other stuff. But the couple other things I think are interesting too is that when you deal with something like the .AI domains, one of the things, the topics or issues that were brought up, and John Berryhill brought it up on an episode, you know, talking about the registry, right? When you have these alternate extensions, you have country code domains, you have got to remember that, you know, this is becomes a bit of the Wild West. You don't have the same structure, the same rules, and in a lot of ways, the same security that you have when you have a .com domain, right? the registry matters. You know, we haven't seen it. I mean, we've seen it in some instances, but you know, you talk about how, you know, the island of Anguilla, like, you know, and most recently they were having some issues with something involving transfers of .ai, I believe, .dot domains. And then the .ai auctions closing at Dynadot had an issue where you had a buyer that was basically, you know, inflating the price of all the domains and then didn't pay, you know? And I think that it's at a bit of an inflection point where that kind of stuff, you know, you've got to be aware of that, but it's kind of crazy to think that you're going to invest in a particular sort of piece or lane of an asset class that could be influenced by something as simple as one buyer in one set of auctions not paying for their domains, all of a sudden creating kind of havoc and you know, sort of headwind against the value of your assets, right? I mean, so that's additional risk I think you got to consider, right?
Or legal too, right, JT? I mean, I want to say that in .ai, gambling is an issue, right? I mean, and then .in has other legal ramifications.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Business, you know, I mean, so like, yeah, it could change, you know, who knows, right? I mean, as they tighten the noose, you know, you might be sitting on some issues and they might take your domains.
Yeah. Build your house on quicksand, man. You know what I'm saying? And then don't be shocked when all of a sudden, you know, you're like up to your neck, right? Anyway, I just think it's all interesting stuff. I think that, but with that said, we do have clients that are either selling or trying to acquire .ai domains. And I do think that there's, you know, there's a lane, there's interest. It's not completely dead or gone. But I think just back to even, and I think that, you know, not trying to put words in anybody's mouth, but I think even the biggest proponents would, you know, advise some sort of either caution or just, you know, put some perspective around it that when you're talking about, you know, .ai supplanting.com or something like that, that that's a pretty tall order. So
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
All right, cool. Well, all right. Well, we covered a lot of AI ground. What else we got going on? What else? You guys have any other topics? I got a couple of things in a list. I can go into my stuff.
Just throw it at us. What you got?
All right. So what do y'all think about the idea with so Elliot, so some things that we do here on the Sherpa Shorts, we'll pull articles from you know, the domain writers and some of the best guys in the business. Big shout out to Andrew Alleman and Domain Name Wire. Just had his 500th episode of his podcast. We had him as a guest on ours as well. So big shout out to Andrew. Elliot is another one that we you know, will grab stuff from. He had something talking about Afternic. I guess somebody had posted on Twitter about who the domain broker represents on Afternic. And I thought this was kind of an interesting question. You know, we've got our names listed on Afternic. You know, we
were another thing we brought up here. I brought up a bunch of times is like, I go in, I create an account at Afternic. I enter all of my domain names. You know, I enter pricing. I work with a account manager there, right? So I believe that I should perceive that the relationship I have is that I am the customer and they are my agent, so to speak. And then yet when a lead comes in, a potential buyer comes to Afternic and makes an offer through their platform to a broker on the phone, email, or a form, I'm then given absolutely zero information except for a price. I'm not told who it is, what country they're from. I don't have any information whatsoever. Even less so now with the elimination of Dan. And so you have no information and I'm at the mercy of a broker at Afternic who I would think represents me, but the actions tell me that they clearly represent the buyer regardless of the circumstances. And so I think it's a problem. I think that's a problem. I think that that's an unfortunate problem. I think that, you know, there's a sort of fear and uncertainty in sales that drives people who aren't particularly good at sales to just have a methodology or a policy, which is, you know, just get a deal. Whatever the first deal is that you can close, that's the deal. And there's no salesmanship. There's no competition or drive to actually optimize a transaction. And so I think without that, it's difficult for that culture to change. But I think that they're leaving a lot of money on the table for both themselves and their customers. And in the medium and long term, they're affecting the market by not getting higher sales on a more frequent basis, which would further drive, you know, future growth, but for them and for the industry. But I think it's a shame that they are misaligned and you could say maligned against who I perceive to be their customers, which is the domain owners.
Yeah.
And just to preface that, I mean, people we work with that we sell domains for, 100%, they're going to know exactly who's coming in, right? Who's making the offer, the conversation, the tonality, right? All these subtle cues that can lead you to understand what's the price threshold, the action threshold, right? So, I mean, it's super, I agree with you, Drew, super important. And they also know how you know, they know how these other people operate, right? They can look back. I mean, they you know, if they're smart salesman, they say, hey, this is the main investor. This is kind of their mode.
Yep.
And so they can steer that and press your buttons if they're good, right? I mean, you got to be good at sales to do that.
And I think that brings up an interesting point. So a couple of quick things, you know, shout out to at Domain Retail, you know, Arius, who posted the cartoon on Twitter or X that started some of the dialogue and even maybe been the motivation for the article that Elliot wrote. Elliot draws the distinction between whether or not the name is actually listed on Afternic or not, right? So, you know, he's saying, look, if the name is listed on Afternic, you know, then technically his opinion, and I would agree that when you end up then in a negotiation with a potential buyer who reaches out and with a make offer and then starts the process, that the Afternic folks, the broker is representing you as the seller, right? Now, if they're just approaching you about a name that you happen to have, but you don't have listed for sale on Afternic, then, you know, at that point, he feels that they're really representing the buyer, right? And I think that is a pretty fair common sense sort of distinction. I think the challenge you run into, and kind of exactly to the point that you're making, Chris, is that, you know, like you said, once, you know, let's say they are reaching out in a name that we've got listed, you know, that then the conversation and the dialogue is very much, they're just trying to get a deal done. And it really seems to be that, you know, it's more about pushing us to sort of, you know, move off of our value than it is so much pushing the buyer.
Always. Yeah.
You know?
And to me, it's like, listen, you got to understand, like I talk about games and frames. I mean, Warren Clath, his book, Pitch Anything and then Flip the Script.
Never Split the Difference.
Yeah. That's Chris Voss. Yeah. Never Split the Difference. But I mean,
who else are you talking about? Who's games and frames?
Warren Clath, I mean, amazing. Two of my favorite books. I mean, like, I went through, did my sales script based on his book. Also, Chris Voss and Jordan Belfort, you know, I've done all these different sales scripts and welded them together to my own. But you got to know whose game you're playing. Like, it's okay. Like, I see the game they play because the buyer can go around them. You know, there's nothing keeping the buyer from looking up to who is and finding out who you are. I mean, I can find a domain owner in probably 10 minutes, right? I mean, so they're, you know, they understand, hey, I'm listing it there for one reason only. I think it's trust. That's it. That's the only reason why, you know, those platforms exist because, and Drew, you can disagree with me here, but they give trust to a transaction getting done on a platform to send money to, and that trust, you know, but they're not. Yeah, when you understand the game, I mean, I've always seen it. They're not representing you.
Yeah, well, you make it.
There's never been. It's not.
Yeah, I was going to say you make a couple of really good points. One being that because it isn't sticky for the buyer through Afternic, right? So it does then incentivize Afternic to try to get a deal done based on sort of any means necessary, right? What they don't want to do is, you know, a lot of times, and you look at the Rick Schwartz model of, hey, you know, I'm just going to stick to a value, you know, I'll ignore you if it's too low. I won't even respond, you know, or I'll even come back with a higher number. You know, like he does, like he's a very high value, you know, sort of Very take it or
leave
it.
For sure. But as soon as one of our leads is handled by somebody other than Aaron, it's a very ignorant,
sort of non-productive.
Very poor, process. Honestly, just very non-productive, poor handling. The framing is bad.
You know,
the way they say it to me is like, come on, guys. Are you joking? Like, listen, I'm not. I would find it surprising if they didn't know who I was. And yet I have supposedly senior brokers at GoDaddy and Afternic contacting me. And the communication to me is like, I don't know what a domain name is.
In that negative sort of, you know, framing, you did shout out Aaron. So big shout out to AXJ because he is the real deal. And I always got to like anytime he gets mentioned.
Yeah, we love AXJ.
AXJ is that dude. And I agree with you. It, you know, when it gets beyond him and, you know, you're dealing with these more junior folks or whatever it is, it's like, you know, and then they're hitting you up. It reminds me of the scene from the movie Boiler Room. Have you guys ever seen Boiler Room? There's a scene where Giovanni Ribisi goes from being like a normal regular guy. He gets kind of put into the world of stocks and, you know, sort of, you know, but very, you know, unregulated kind of whatever, whatever, and has to really become a hustler, you know? And it's like, you know, he gets really seasoned in the process, you know, and then he gets a phone call from someone trying to sell him a paper. And they're like, hey, would you like to subscribe to the newspaper? And he's like, nah, I'm good. And they're like, okay, thank. All right. Sorry, sir. You know, and they go to him. He's like, wait a minute. That's your pitch. You know, and he just starts going off on him. And he's like, you know, you got, and he like gets going and he gets the guy fired up to where he's like, you know, and he's like, and then you got to hit me with this and tell me why I need it and find out why I might want it. And, you know, and speak to me and understand my story, my needs. The guy's like, you know, he goes through and he gives him this quick sort of education on the phone. And the guy's like, awesome. He's like, that's what's up. So you want to subscribe? He's like, nah, I read the fucking post, you know, and then he it's like those guys, you know? And so I think there's definitely that. And, you know, so you're naturally putting it in the hands of folks who maybe aren't the best to do a high value domain deal, right? To Chris's point, I think you're looking at why you're listing on Afternic in the first place. The trust is obviously an enormous factor. I would think visibility is another huge factor. Now there's this whole thing with Afternic Boost and all this, but you know, your name showing up in the retail flow of GoDaddy is obviously a very important piece. And if you can do that, you know, there's real value there. And you know, unfortunately the commission just keeps going up and up and up and up. So
I disagree. I mean, I don't know. I mean, GoDaddy is awesome with sharing it. I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago, they had a really good presentation at NamesCon. I steer investors to that one, talking about building a portfolio, you know, and value and selling, you know, 1-3%.
Was that Paul's keynote?
Yeah, it was Paul. Yeah. He had a really, so if you're an investor, go and search that out. It was a really good presentation, but I don't think they're searching. I think most of these domain names, they're coming up, they're typing it in, they're seeing it for sale, right? I mean,
yep. And then that goes back to the other point you made.
It'd be great to see the information on that.
Well, and like you said, so then there's concern about the end around, right? Because now, okay, they realize, you know, a savvy buyer is going to be like, all right, well, I'm just going to find other avenues to see if maybe if I can cut out the middleman, I can get it for cheaper, or maybe it's listed in more than one place and those kinds of things. So, you know, because of the lack of stickiness, the inexperience of the actual broker, you know, middle person at that point, you know, you're sort of running into some of that stuff that then sort of shifts like, hey, who are you really working for here? And ultimately they're working for themselves, right? I think that's actually the answer. You know, I think
of course,
it's all,
that's always the answer.
I know. Well, like, well, as you said, show me the incentives and I'll show you the outcome. Right. I mean, it's just, you know,
but the problem is you can't steer the buyer.
I know. I could. Hey, look, man, let me just giving you the credit.
I think the problem is you can't steer the communication to the buyer. So you don't know what's being communicated. So Drew could like go on this big rant to them. And, you know,
yeah, he can't.
Are
do
they
the
even
going to
communicate that? Right. So yeah, how are they going to frame it in the right way?
Yeah.
That helps it. And so, but you know, there's so much mature. I actually just did a video yesterday on Twitter and LinkedIn and YouTube, but it's like, there's no sale without the gap, right? I mean, not like no sale period, but especially higher value domain names require a gap from where they're at to where they want to go, from pain to possibility. Drew, you did an amazing job. I mean, I can't wait till you publish your book on like emails from negotiations, you know? Like, how do you get someone in the gap? Because until there's a gap, until they see that, if you just keep it on price, there's no sale, and they're not gonna lean in, right? It's this desire versus interest. And desire is like very few people
more powerful.
Yeah. I mean, listen, very people actually get into a negotiation in domains. Okay. Like a true negotiation, because the negotiation takes desire. And that's when the beauty comes out. And we've had a couple really real negotiations, right? But outside of that, it's just interest. It's like, you know, until you can get them in that pocket, you don't understand.
Yeah. Well, so a perfect, you know, example of this, and I think other concerns that start to arise is that how the negotiation is handled, you know, could also bring up sort of, let's say, legal concerns around domains at times. We had a domain that we had listed. It was one of these where it's like it was relatively generic, but you know, there were brands out there that were using a term like that. And, you know, I don't even think we had it in any kind of parking or anything, but it was just even just going to a lander. And when we got an offer on the domain and they came to us with it, you know, we thought it was a particular brand that was trying to buy the domain. And we thought, okay, well, this is a great fit for this name, and this is someone who should have it. You know, if they're willing to pay what it's worth, right? They're not the only potential user of it, but they were somebody with trademark rights in their use of this particular term, right? And, but then all of a sudden we realized, like, oh, hey, we don't know who it, you know, based on the way the negotiation went, we accepted, then they ghosted it, and then it became sort of this funky situation where we're like, hey, listen, we have zero control or insight or visibility into what's actually happening here. We don't know who's saying what to who. So now all of a sudden, you know, it starts bringing up an issue where it's like, look, if we don't have the ability to advocate for, you know, the value, advocate for why we have this name in the first place type of thing, you start to realize, like, you know, you start running a risk. Your names are potentially at risk, right? UDRP or otherwise. You think about, like, okay, because we're just saying, here's our number. That's what we think it's worth. That's what we want. You know, and then they're on the other side being told, who knows? And it ended up, because of the way that the flow of the deal went, you know, we thought there was a real risk of, you know, potential of a dispute around the name. Then realizing also then became there's some security and other risks around some of this stuff as well, because again, you've got communications happening related to a domain where they're supposed to be representing us, but we don't know what they're saying. And then it's like, all right, well, if they're acting as our proxy in this situation, like, is it possible that based on their comments that they could then be opening us up to, you know, to some kind of claims? Or if somebody's trying to buy this name and we don't know who it is it possible that's creating a security risk for another potential buyer who potentially should own the name as opposed to these folks? So point is that without that visibility, without that transparency, there are definitely issues that can come up, and where it really becomes more and more important for, you know, this role to be sort of understood and honored as to whose side are you on here, you know? And
I also find that in most cases, information is like lubricant. It just smooths things out. And so if you are, you know, if you're Puff Daddy, no, I'm just kidding.
On that note,
if you bump that, you keep it, you know, 10,000 bottles of baby oil on hand.
Yeah, no, but you need that's a lot of information.
More information. The lack of information is probably the single greatest obstacle to two people having a meeting of the minds. Now, obviously, there is an arbitrage in that asymmetric information, right? He who has the highest amount of information ultimately makes the most informed decision and most likely the right one. But ultimately, to the extent that it is productive, more information, more better. More information, more transactions. The more a buyer feels at ease with who they're buying from, the more the buyer feels at ease that they're not being, you know, screwed, whether it's on price, reputation, or some other way. The more information that is made available to a buyer and a seller, the more rational the transaction will be, and the higher the likelihood it will close.
Yeah.
I guess my final point there is, I don't think they've ever said they work for the seller, do they? I mean, I don't think it's ever. So, I mean, it's that assumption that you assume, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, we're super clear on, hey, we work when we sell domain name, we have a contract, we work for you.
Yeah.
Transparency. You're going to know, you're going to see the tonality, right? We're going to give you a picture of who we're hitting. But you got to know your game. You got to know the game you're playing. The game has rules. And if you don't understand the game, this is everything in life, right? The game you're playing, no frame, no game. Then listen, you're going to be thinking something and you're just going to get, you know, you're like, well, that's not the rule. Sorry.
And then you're going to go, that's not fair. That's not fair.
Well, yeah. No, hey, look, not everybody gets a trophy. So that's for sure. And I think that's an interesting point, Chris, about
boot brand called That's Not Fair.
That's not fair.
The bottom of the boot is going to just, you're going to see in the sole, it's going to say, that's not fair in the sole. Not fair. I'll let y'all figure out what happens next.
But I think that's an interesting point, Chris, when you talk about what game are you playing. If you are, you know, you got your names listed, you know, when you start, you know, the negotiation kind of begins. But I don't know. I mean, when you say about who's representing who and the idea that the Afternic folks are not, I mean, I think if you're selling a domain on Afternic, you're the ones paying them. They're not getting paid by the buyer. They're getting paid by you. I don't think
rules.
That.
I mean, they set the rules up. You.
No, I know, but I guess my point is I would say, look, if I've got my name listed and a broker engages with a potential buyer, you know, when you assume you make an ass out of you and me and all that kind of stuff, but my belief would be that, hey, like naturally you should be representing me. I'm paying you, you know, like I'm the one who's decided to utilize your service.
Yeah.
I feel you. I know. I get what you're saying. Like, which is like, hey, you could think all that you want. You know, that's great. You're in the wrong game. You know what I mean? You think you're playing chess and they're playing checkers or vice versa. And like that.
Yeah. And they set it up beautifully, and they just reset it up. It's like, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I think you make the great point too. I mean, look, and we don't need to pump our book, but you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, when you're talking about high value domains, simply putting them, you know, on an Afternic lander versus having like, you know, an actual team that's going to go out and do the work, you know, is a different, it's a whole different. And I mean, that's just a different deal altogether, right?
Listen, you should use us just for that fact. Because Drew and I went back and forth with this, right? It's like there's marketing, there's timing, if nothing else, for our ability to negotiate, right? That's all we did. If you just pointed the landing page, just wait for that buyer to come, that would be worth it, right? I mean, for the transparency, the experience in negotiating. But obviously, we provide much more than that, right? I mean,
yeah, but that's a really, really good point. And, you know, the idea of like, if you're going to pay Afternic up to 25%, to have their folks, you know, trying to negotiate the true value of your domain versus like, I mean, that's crazy, but it's like, that's just different leagues, right?
And there's no outbound, right? So it's like you put it there, there's no outbound. They can't do outbound, right? So, I mean, they're just, it's buyers coming. So, I mean, even if that's all we did at Media Options, 100%, there's value, 100%. Mm-hmm. Unequivocally. Yeah. I have no doubt our ability based on negotiating every single day and talking to buyers and sellers. But we do much more than that. We do outbound, right? So there's a lot more benefits you get. Media Options. I mean, so you got to know the game you're playing.
All right. No, I like it. I think that's a good way of closing out too. I think that really kind of drives the point home. That's why we're the best. Everybody give your domains to us.
We are.
I mean, we'll make all your dreams come true. But it's actually, that's not actually
You know, we're making a whole bunch of people's dreams come true lately. I'll tell you that.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, that's what's up. So, well, I think we're right about at time. And I think we covered a lot of ground. This was great. Appreciate you guys. Anything else before we close up? All right.
Nope. Coffee and cigarettes, baby.
Coffee and cigarettes. We're back to everything goes in cycles. Was it the homegrown nicotine or the what is it? The non-GMO nicotine is now supposed to actually be good for you. Is that what people are saying? Is that the deal?
I don't know what they're saying. I you know, we don't say that on YouTube. That's for sure.
You're right. We don't want to get down that rabbit hole. That's not this show. All right, but listen, guys, thank you so much for doing what you do. It is much, much appreciated. And to the audience, thanks you guys so much for tuning in. I think there were some gems in here for sure, so hopefully you guys enjoyed it. And if not, then just let us know and we'll refund you the amount that you paid to watch the show.
always good to hand out those, you know, that offer always stands, never taken up, but, without you, there is no us. We do appreciate the audience. Holler at us. We are not hard to find. In the meantime, we'll be doing what we do. And otherwise, we'll see everybody next time here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, everybody. Y'all have a great one. And stay safe. There's the hurricane that's coming through to Florida. All our Florida peeps, all our Louisiana peeps, and South Georgia. You know, definitely stay safe. And spaghettimodels.com. Talk about a domain and pay attention. But, we'll see everybody next time. Peace out, y'all.